When I think about people, I think about space, how much space a person takes up and how much use that person provides. I am just under 5 feet tall and just under 100 pounds. Briefly, I thought I would exceed 5 feet, and while that would have been fine, I also didn't need the extra height. To stay just under something gives me a sense of comfort, as when it rains and I can open an umbrella over my head. Today, someone said that I looked like a mouse. 5'6 and 290 pounds, he, in a backless gown with non-slip tube socks, said that my looking like a mouse made him wary. He asked how old I was, what schools had I gone to, and were they prestigious? Then where were my degrees from these prestigious schools? My degrees are large and framed, I said. I don't carry them around. While not a mouse, I do have prosaic features. My eyes, hooded and lashless. I have very thin eyebrows. I told the man that he could try another hospital or come back at another time, but high chance that I would still be here and he would still think that I looked like a mouse. I read somewhere that empathy is repeating the last three words of a sentence and nodding your head. My 20s were spent in school, and a girl in her 20s is said to be in her prime. After that decade, all is lost. They must mean looks, because what could a female brain be worth? And how long could one last? Being in school often felt like a race. I was told to grab time, and if I didn't, that is, reach out the window and pull time in like a messenger dove, someone else in another car would. The road was full of cars, limousines, and Priuses, but there were a limited number of doves. With this image in mind, I can no longer ride in a vehicle with the windows down. Inevitably, I will look for the dove and offer my hand out to be cut off. My father's stroke was fatal, having followed the natural course of a stroke of that magnitude to its predictable end. Usually people die from complications, and I was grateful he hadn't. Complications would have angered him, actually, to have died not from a single blow, but from a total system shutdown, which was slower, more painful, and revealed just how vulnerable a person could be. Months prior, he had complained of headaches and eye pressure. I told him to get some tests done, and he said that he would, which meant he wouldn't. In China, my father ran a construction company that, in the last decade, had finally seen success. He was a typical workaholic, and for most of my childhood, adolescence, adulthood, not often around. When I got the news, I was in my office at the hospital, at work. My father had tripped over a bundle of projector cords during a meeting and bounced his head off a chair. As my mother was explaining, either the fall triggered the stroke, or the stroke triggered the fall. I asked her to put the phone next to his ear. He was already unconscious, but hearing is the last sense to go. Given the time difference on my side, only morning in Manhattan since I was 12 hours behind, my father was still en route to the meeting that, by my mother's accounts, was meant to be ordinary. I asked my father how his drive was going, and if he could, just for today, take a few hours off. He obviously didn't reply, but I said, either way this went, I was proud of him. He had never planned to retire and remained until the very end, doing what he loved. Trung, I said into the phone and raised my fist into the air. After my mother hung up, I sat there for a while, not facing the computer, and that was my mistake. Having seen my fist go up, the two other doctors in the office asked whom I'd been talking to and what was that strange sound I just made. I said my father, and that the sound was closer to a word, but the word meant nothing. My colleagues didn't know I spoke Chinese, and I wanted to keep it that way to avoid any confusion. But the word did mean something. It had many different definitions, one of which was to begin.